Good afternoon. Yes. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, our first Advent midweek service. Special thank you to our second and third graders from our day school leading us in our service here this afternoon. We're blessed to be in the house of our Lord as we go through the season now of Advent in preparation for the coming of Christ at Christmas. If you're a guest or visiting with us here this afternoon, we're especially glad you're here. We do ask that you and all of our members take a moment to fill out an attendance card you can find in your pews. Pass those over to the ushers when they collect the offering midway through our service. Order of service for this afternoon is Divine Service Setting 4. Begins on page 203 within our hymnal. We do have an Advent family night coming up this Friday, and I think you can still sign up for that bulletin board down by the Fellowship Hall. Also, a week from this coming Monday will be our next Eat Night for the school. That's at El Rancho Grande in Savoy. There's a flyer for that on the table as you exit the sanctuary here this afternoon. So we begin our worship with the singing now of our first hymn, hymn 346, When All the World Was Cursed. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Savior of the nations, you entered into this world in normal fashion, yet you began your ministry by being baptized, at which point the heavens were torn open and the Spirit was poured out upon you. As we celebrate this season of Advent, help us to remember your gracious visitation to us as Son of God and Son of Man, the Lord's Christ for us all. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the first Advent midweek service is from Ezekiel chapter 36. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and to be careful to obey my rules. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father
Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In a few short weeks, we will once again hear the accounts of Jesus' birth here into this world. Sundays in Advent direct us toward the various comings of Christ into the world for us, for our salvation, by his death on the cross. Jesus' work of salvation is made possible first and foremost by his incarnation and his birth. This is what is most commonly focused upon throughout this time of Advent. So why an Advent sermon series that is focused on the Gospel of Mark, one of the two Gospel accounts that do not include a birth story of Jesus? The author of this sermon series, Dr. David Lewis, writes in his introduction, "In this time of the year, Americans wait the birth of a baby, and this baby is then often viewed through the lens of sentimentality. He is harmless and inoffensive. He represents God's love for everyone, apart from any deep focus on fallen creation. Or for some, he represents generally the miracle of birth and new life. He poses no threat to anyone." What the Gospel of Mark does for us this time of year is keeps this season of Advent and Christmas in proper perspective. The coming of Jesus Christ into this world is anything but innocent and anything but harmless. St. Mark begins his gospel pointedly, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark gets straight to the point, as he is apt to do. Jesus is the Christ, stated right away by Mark. He is the one anointed, the Mashiach, the one set apart for all time for the work of redemption, buying back the people of God from all sin, promised millennia before in the Garden of Eden. And to add more to that, Jesus is listed by Mark as the Son of God. He is not God-like. He is not a son of a God, he is the Son of the one true God. He is the eternally begotten, second person of the Holy Trinity. And so the entry of this person, Jesus Christ, into this world will be anything but innocent and harmless. Not any good story, the main character gets to make a dramatic entrance into the scene. And even though you know the main character by the title typically, you are still awed by their sudden appearance. And Jesus' appearance in Mark's gospel, certainly no exception. He has already been introduced as the Christ, the Son of God. He is then listed as the very reason for the coming of the messenger. It is before his face, that is Jesus' face, that John the Baptizer will be sent. John's will be that voice of the one who is crying out in the wilderness. And Jesus is the Lord, for whom the paths are to be made straight by all. And Mark clearly identifies Jesus' most essential roles, the Christ of God, the Son of God. But after this great billing, however, the actual arrival of Jesus in Mark's gospel is a stark reversal. The day of John the Baptizer, the people of God were expecting a great and powerful figure, someone who would come and strike fear to the hearts of all their enemies. Those outside of Israel, those within, would certainly know the presence of the Messiah, And as the preparer for the Christ, John was busy doing the work he was called to do, preparing all for the coming Christ. There he was, out in the wilderness, the riverside country of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. This message would have stung in the ears of the Jews in John's day. For those Jews did not claim to have been ever a slave to anyone, let alone to sin. And as the descendants of Abraham, they were perfectly prepared for the coming of the Christ. So they thought. But they were in no need then of repentance, no need of cleansing. Even so, the Spirit was alive in John's very preaching as hundreds flooded out to the desert to be baptized in the Jordan by John. And John knew in that work that he was doing at any moment, the Christ would finally appear. And he announced that the Christ would indeed be so mighty that John himself would not be worthy to drop into the mud, to untie the sandals from the Christ's feet. And so the picture of the Christ in John's mind's eye was larger than life. When Jesus finally does arrive on the scene, there at John's baptismal scene, John is stunned. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, has joined the line of sinners, those in need of repentance, those in need of baptism. And John would gladly hand over the reins to Jesus. John knew he should be baptized by Jesus. The kingdom was all his for the taking. And yet, Jesus simply bowed his head to be baptized like all the rest. Now, this is not what had been expected by John. The Christ, the Son of God, should certainly be above all the rest. And yet he was not. He was baptized like all the rest. But however, his baptism was not like all the rest. John was blessed to see the skies torn open as the curtain would be torn open at Jesus' death. And the Holy Spirit would descend upon Jesus like a dove. And all the baptisms John had performed, this had never once occurred before. And so Jesus was seen by John as truly different, especially special. John heard the voice call forth from heaven, announce to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." With this vision, freshly given to John, Jesus was then led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness. There he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Everything that had happened to the people of Israel in the past was happening anew in Jesus. Each of the kings and the prophets and the priests were anointed, and they were put in place by God to speak his word and to fight against the power of the devil, the world, and our own sinful natures. Jesus was now called to do the same. Jesus was all of Israel, every prophet, every priest, every king, and truly all mankind, reduced to one, the new man, the new Adam. And Jesus was truly that chosen champion whom God himself elected. And when his time of testing in the wilderness was over, and Jesus was victorious over Satan, he began his ministry, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." on the message of repentance is certainly not a comfortable one. Repentance implies a present sinfulness. Every person is in need of repentance because every person is a sinner. And this is not about looking at others who are more sinful than you. Nor is it at looking at the unbelieving world as those who are condemned in their sin. The message of Christ, of His repentance that He preaches, comes to each and every one of us. This season of Advent is a time of humble preparation, like that of the season of Lent. Advent used to bear the same liturgical color as that penitential season, purple, preparing us and reminding us of our own sinfulness. And we each have our own sins that we carry, those that others know too, but those that are harbored in our own hearts. Chief among them all is the sin of pride. Your sinful self believes you are good enough before God. You are tempted to believe you've done enough good, even believed strongly enough for God to love you and to reward you. This chief sin of pride must be chiefly repented. 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel were going about their normal day-to-day lives. Winter weather had come upon them once more. Many had traveled to the towns of their ancestral homes, preparation for Caesar's census. But no one paid any notice to a pregnant young maiden being led by her husband through the streets of Bethlehem. No one was blessed to witness the visit of angels to shepherds out in the hill country nearby. Nobody paid special attention to the new mother, her husband, as they brought the baby Jesus to Jerusalem for their purification rites. King Herod would not catch wind of any such things for another year or two. And yes, the birth of Jesus into this world was quiet, and it was innocent. And yet the coming of the Christ is anything but. The long-promised plan of God for salvation was now in motion, and there was not anyone or anything that could stop it. For your salvation would be achieved by the Lord Jesus at all costs, which was His life given upon the cross. That is what He was baptized to do. That is what He was born to do. And that is what He has come here to do. Amen. Now the peace that passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, You made promises to the Israelites and all the world that You would send the Savior to rescue us from sin and death. You have given Your people hope through these promises. You have given even greater joy by keeping those promises in Jesus Christ. Give us continued comfort and peace during this celebration of Your Son's incarnation. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear our
O God, help us to remember Your faithfulness to us. As we enjoy the season of Advent, keep us faithful to Your word, that with glad hearts we would love and serve You and serve our neighbor. Lord, in Your mercy. Holy One of Israel, the words of Your Son do not pass away, but abide forever. Grant Your people grace in these Advent days to set aside time from the busyness and hectic pace of our lives, to enter the quiet joy of Your presence that we might hear and ponder our Savior's words, and so come to the Christmas feast with glad and joyful hearts. Lord, in your mercy. O God, have compassion on our country. Bring its leaders to repentance, that they defend the unborn, and lead us to be doers of the word, and so love and care for all. Watch over and protect the members of our military as they serve to keep us safe here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you made me and all creatures, and you still care for all of us. You know our needs, and in compassion, you provide for us all. Give healing to the sick, patience to those who suffer, hope to those who are near despair, peace to those who are dying, and comfort to those who are alone. We pray especially for those we name in our hearts at this time. Give your peace to all, that in sickness or health we give thanks for the forgiveness of sins earned by Christ and our reconciliation with God, given in the Word incarnate and the Word proclaimed. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you sent your Son to save us by the giving of his body and the shedding of his blood. Grant that as we eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do, we eat and drink believing his words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all those for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead, and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he, comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy you sent your servant, John the Baptizer, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. to the Lord's table.
Show.
body of Christ given. Joni, the body of Christ given for you. Cindy, the body of Christ given. Ruby, our Lord Jesus has come to you in the great waters of baptism, granting you the forgiveness of all your sins. Love for this. Allison, the body of Christ given for you. Max, our Lord Jesus loves you and has made you his own in holy baptism, granting you his grace and forgiveness. It's with you all. Andy, the body of Christ given for you. Lisa, the body of Christ given for you. Ashley, the body of Christ given for you. Chris, the body of Christ given for you. Dave, the body of Christ given for you. Karen, the body of Christ given for you. Mar, the body of Christ given for you. Don, the body of Christ given. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. We're seated now as our closing hymn is sung. All are invited to join us for a dinner down in the fellowship hall immediately following the service. And so we sing our closing hymn, 353.